Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, Bill Spadia here. Welcome back to the Speaking Podcast. Now, as I have said to you over the past few months, we love to have a little light banter on the Speaking Podcast, but given the state of the world and the country and what is going on, I've had to include some more serious interviews with serious people who are out and about in the world and looking at the crisis that has evolved in our culture and doing something about it. Joining me today, an actress that I'm sure you're familiar with. Her name is Lee Allen Baker. You may know her from Charmed, from Will and Grace. She's done a million things over the past few decades. And I noticed her action on social media as one of the lone voices in Hollywood saying, hold on a minute, we haven't lost our critical thinking. We haven't lost our minds. There are some facts here that we should really be discussing before we all run toward a lockdown and toward a vaccine that has developed over just a few weeks. So joining me now, Lee Allen Baker. Lee Allen, welcome to the Speaking Podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you. I was telling you that social media is such a toxic environment, right? And the minute you are an outlier, the minute you move even an inch on the other direction when it comes to the groupthink in our culture, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's on a gender conversation, on a religious conversation, you know, the latest thing just happens to be about coronavirus. So let's back up to the beginning first. What got you involved in some of the outspoken advocacy that you've had over the past few months as the country has endured this outrageous lockdown?
So I kind of like walked into it, honestly. I was filming a movie in Oklahoma. It's a movie that I had been cast to do before COVID hit and it had to be postponed. And it just so happened that the movie that I was cast in was going to be shooting in Oklahoma, which is one of the first states to reopen. And it was going to be in one kind of environment where we were all kind of together for the whole time. So it was like a really safe thing to go ahead and do, yeah. You know? And so my union tried to stop me from doing that. And I'm not a person who likes my freedoms and my constitutional rights and my God-given rights to be taken away because of somebody's political agenda. You know, it dawned on me that they were going against any like legal recommendation. They were going against medical recommendations. Like, how does the Screen Actors Guild become my doctor, judge, jury, and parent all of a sudden? You know, they're going to stop me from feeding my kids and taking care of my kids' medical needs, you know, and earning a living for my family because they have a preference in who they want to be president of the United States and a political agenda that they want to pursue. I didn't vote for that. So I'm not playing that game.
So how did it come to you? I mean, we've heard horror stories with the Screen Actors Guild, and so many actors are now trying to work around them just to put food on the table. As you had said, they've made the rules so onerous that it's almost impossible to do so many small projects that are out there, small, medium, even the big ones, with the over-testing and the quarantines and the isolation and the rules on how you can even interact on set. How do they explain this to the actors that they are keeping out of work? I mean, it's been 9 months now, and so many people in the entertainment business literally haven't had a paycheck in more than a half a year.
They were using the same strategy that Hitler used and that our government is using right now, which is it's for your safety. You know, so I didn't have the right to sign off on my own health to say, you know, it's okay. I totally know that there's a virus out there. And if I get it, I'm good with it. And you know, I'll take responsibility for my own health. They were not okay with me taking responsibility for my health. They wanted to be in charge of my health. And it's just like the way, if even now, the only production companies that can afford to, you know, acquiesce to all of their very expensive demands are ones that are very high budget productions. Yeah. So it's just like, you know, they let you go to Walmart, they let you go to the big, big stores, but they won't let you go to the small mom and pop stores. They force them to close down. It's like they're wanting to kill the middle class. It's the same thing in the industry. They are wanting to shut down the films that are not the big, big budget ones or the productions. And that's the realm where I work the most. So I was not going to lay down and just.
So what happened to you? I mean, what has the reaction been with your co-stars, your colleagues, other Screen Actors Guild members, people that you've starred with and worked with over the past couple of decades?
Well, you know, the reaction started really for me. What really kind of pushed me to be vocal was that where I was filming this movie had no cell reception. I just wasn't able to get to my phone to find out what was going on. And when I drove back, I started looking at Twitter one night and there was a post of Joe Biden with a mask and it just said, wear a mask. And I was like, that's not law. You know, it's a overreaching suggestion, but you know, you do you, whatever. Well, apparently this tweet that I made very like, unknowingly that I didn't even know there was like a mask scandal going on. It just seemed ridiculous to me that you would mandate people to wear a mask for a virus that can clearly go through it, that this mask isn't going to do any good scientifically to stop. So I also just stated a fact of it's not law.
Right.
Which is, sorry, it's not, you know, it may be a mandate, but that's.
I find it amazing that they've ignored all the science. I mean, it was literally, I posted the Great Barrington Declaration where literally 50,000 doctors, nurses, epidemiologists, infectious disease specialists talked about how absurd it is to have this isolation, the lockdown, how we need to open up, we need to do selective protection and protect vulnerable people, but that can be done without locking down healthy society.
Right.
But study after study, British Medical Journal, I mean, you can, there are so, the Primary Doctor Medical Journal, literally dozens out there going back 10 years showing that the surgical mask even, which is designed to protect medical professionals and their patients in a closed setting so that the doc doesn't sneeze into the open cavity of a patient,
right,
or the patient doesn't spatter blood on the doc's face. Like, it's so obvious why they wear a mask. Anybody that's ever worked with masks, if you've done woodworking or anything else, you know that even with that mask, you'll be spitting up brown for at least a couple hours after you work it, because it doesn't stop it. You know, it's funny, Lee Allen, the CDC even came out and they said during the California wildfires, they warned people like the mask isn't going to protect you from the smoke particles.
Right.
Of course, the smoke particles, right, they're bigger than coronavirus.
But
anyway, I back to that tweet. So you sent this tweet out, and what happened? The gates of hell opened?
Oh, yeah. I get a call. Oh, my gosh, you're trending to number two on Twitter. I'm like, what? How? What are you talking about?
Right.
And then all of a sudden I look, and I've got a group of people that hate me, want to kill me, want me raped and beaten and run over, and my kid's dead.
Yeah,
and then I've got a group of people that are like, you're this amazing hero. We can't believe you're the only one in Hollywood speaking up. And I'm sitting there literally thinking, what just happened? You know, what is going on? And again, like I didn't dawn on me that there would be this big issue over a mask. To me, it seemed like, well, if it makes you feel better, you want to wear one, go ahead. But there's no scientific evidence behind it. Fauci's even come out and said it doesn't do anything if it makes people feel better. You know, so I just didn't understand why people really weren't using critical thinking to not follow a narrative that they're told, but to actually think about it. And also when it comes to like a drug like hydroxychloroquine, which is the other forbidden word, or
right, can't say that.
You can't say that. A benign, let me just tell you this. They were like, it kills kids, it kills people. I was like, does it? I go online and I, you know, put into my little DuckDuckGo, you know, hydroxychloroquine for kids. That's what I searched. And up pops this gorgeous color printout PDF front back from the CDC on their website that says it is so safe for everybody. It's safe for people, children, nursing mothers, and pregnant women.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, what? And I'm not a proponent of even like, go take hydroxychloroquine. I'm a proponent of, you know, let your immune system do the best you can. If you need help, hopefully it's there. I take a more reasonable approach, I think, than just running out and grabbing a pill even. But the way that it was so censored and cut off and no one could speak about it, and that medication became withheld from the public, it became like criminal.
Well, and now they're coming out and admitting that it actually is effective in reducing symptoms and helping you get over coronavirus and COVID-19.
So my question to the world is, why? Like, why don't you ask questions? Why aren't people going, wait a second, they threw a fit over hydroxychloroquine, they censored it, they stopped people from looking at it and getting it, and now they're saying it's okay? What's wrong with this situation? Instead, a lot of people are just going, oh, okay, so now it's okay, but it wasn't then. It's because they don't know. They just don't know. They're all learning about this virus. It's just, it's a new virus. Look, coronavirus has been around forever. Viruses behave in a certain way, whether this is a stronger one, a weaker one, whatever. This is how viruses behave. So it's not like all of a sudden no medical doctor knows what to do about a virus.
Right. And not only that, they've been talking about it for years. And I think the word novel scared the hell out of everyone. Mm-hmm. The fact that it spread like wildfire scared them. And then you start to look at it. One of the most telling facts that I read was that coronavirus causes about 20% of the colds that Americans get every single year. It is the number one virus listed on the Lysol can. Maybe they've changed it now. I don't know. But that before we even really knew what was happening. Let me ask you, do you think there's something bigger at play here culturally? I have my one of my friends and he's a writer for our production company, Jay Black. He's a friend of mine, but he's scared to death. And when I try to talk to him about, coming out of his house, and he's younger than me, but he's scared to death and he's got his entire life focused on the vaccine, making sure that he's never going to get sick with this. And then after the world shuts down again and everybody's forced to take the vaccine, we're all going to come out and be fine. And I can't seem to get through to him and a lot of people who are scared that life is full of risk. Life is dangerous. Viruses are around. Most people, certainly anybody under the age of 50 has almost nothing to worry about with coronavirus. And even those who are older, the average age, the range is between 79 and 82, and the expected age of mortality in America is 78. What do you say to your friends, family members, honestly, Leanne, that don't talk to me right now because they can't believe I've taken this hard stance against lockdowns, against masks, for critical thinking and treating this like we treat every flu every single year, protect the vulnerable, do better there, and move forward. What do you say to people that vehemently disagree with you and literally think you're killing people?
Yeah, they think that was a great one that I got. I got a post on Facebook when I posted that the CDC showed that the numbers weren't as bad, nearly as bad as they thought they were going to be. She said that my misinformation was killing the people she loved. And I responded, well, the lockdowns are killing the people that you don't love. Clearly, people need to go to work. They need to feed their children. When I compare it to a flu, people think that I'm being very cavalier about a coronavirus. Listen, people die of the flu. People die with the flu. People get very sick. But when someone says to me, my aunt died of coronavirus, you're so insensitive. I say to them, hey, my aunt died in a car accident. Doesn't mean I don't think you should get in a car and drive.
Right.
There are risks to life. But when you look at the overall death toll in the world this year compared to others, it's on the same playing field as the last 5 years, with an exception of 2017, which had a very high death, which had a much higher death rate because of a serious flu. Here's my main concern. If you put your faith of your health in the hands of government, not even like medical professionals, because there are medical professionals who are saying, we should be back to work. This is not what people are saying it is. But when you put that in the hands of the government, where they are making billions of dollars for a vaccine that has absolutely no liability for the manufacturers and the makers, that only profits them, they don't even pay for the advertising, the distribution. Taxpayers pay for all that. They don't pay for any of it. And they're not held liable for any damage that's being done to people. And it is going to be done to people. You don't have to take my word for it. You can listen to Bill Gates. He'll tell you. They will tell you people are going to be damaged by this. Mm-hmm. You have no legal recourse. all for a virus with a 99.9% chance of survival. Like, is that worth it to you?
You know, I'm glad you said that. I used the example yesterday that if you're under the age of 20, 19 and under, school age kids, young kids, that if 10,000 kids got it, only 3 would die out of 10,000.
Yeah.
And then if you take it to the other end of the spectrum, 75 and older, out of 1,000, 54 people would die. But of those, 94% would have at least 2, if not 3, comorbidities, meaning only 3 out of 1,000 healthy people would be impacted. And the World Health Organization said that's right in line with the flu. They came out and said it's about 0.13 compared to the flu, 0.11. So how do you overcome it? Like, I'm so happy to talk to you because you're normal. And I find, like, the calls I get on my show in the morning, the tweets that I get, I found myself reporting people to Twitter because they report us all the time, right, saying, you know, hey, this one is saying some things that are pretty wild and untrue. Why is that not flagged? How do you combat it, especially given, I mean, I'm in New Jersey, so I feel like I'm behind enemy lines in New Jersey. You're in California. You are certainly behind enemy lines.
I am not in California. I will not be in California. I moved out. I moved to a red state.
Oh, good for you. All right. So you are in a red state now. So that feels a little better, right?
Yes.
But how do you deal with it culturally?
It feels a little better, but, you know.
Not great. I know. We won't disclose where you are.
Yeah. But I will say, you know, this, I think of this as warfare against the American people, you know. The CDC, let's be honest, once you start letting them have governance over this and you no longer have full control over what goes into your body and you give that government the right to dictate that, you're never going to get that right back. And just to let everybody know, there's over 250 vaccines in the works right now. I mean, they give our kids 72 vaccines. That's not going to stop. At some point, whether you have had or a more sensitive person have had a reaction or not, at some point, it's going to be too many.
Yeah. What do you do to stop it? You know, I fight every day. I had an argument, not an argument, but I've had friends that literally have not talked to me now in months. And one of the reasons was I took a hardline stance on the mask. So I do not wear a mask. Now, I'm also not looking for a fight. I don't go into ShopRite anymore. What I do is I order online with Wegmans. I've gotten kind of accustomed to that. Now you're looking at my home studio, and I've been attacked for working at home. But the reason I work at home now is I refuse to comply with the corporate nonsense of putting a mask on. So I'm at my mic, no mask. The minute I turn around, I got to put a mask on to go to the restroom or get a cup of coffee. So I'm not doing that. So I'm blessed that I can relocate and say, okay, I can broadcast from home. A lot of people can't. But when I took the stand on the mask, my position was that is a symbol of submission and compliance to ignorance and government decisions over your body. So I refused to do it. I've had to wear it twice. My son plays football and had a concussion, and that they wouldn't let, he's 17, so they wouldn't let him in without a parent, and they wouldn't let me in without a mask. But I'll tell you, Leon, I put the mask on under my nose, and I learned two things. One, I've got an enormous nose. Ridiculous. And two, the medical professionals didn't care. No one said anything when I was in the back room. And it tells me they know. So how do you draw your confidence?
Because we know that they know. This is what upsets me about people. So the reason my stance on the mask is this. My stance on the mask is I have vaccine injured children. People say, vaccinate your fucking kids to me all the time. I did. Didn't work out for us. Going to be paying for the rest of our lives for that mistake. Okay. I'm not saying every kid has that. Mine do. We're not getting this ever. Okay. To me, putting that mask on says, okay, you've got me on this lockstep. And this is just a step to the next thing, which is forcing me to take a vaccine. And I will not be forced to do anything.
I love it. I love your courage and your strength. What do you think is next for you? I mean, you've got a public forum now. Do you think that there's an office run in your future?
I would love to, because, I mean, at first I was like, who would ever do that? But at the same time, it's like somebody who is able to think logically has got to step out and do something about this. I mean, they're running away with our country. Everybody's in bed with everybody else. You got China, you got Russia, you got Iran, you got deals going. Like, our government is like the mafia, right? And if you're not on their team, like, you're going down. Like, I think, I'm in my opinion, the government works for us, the people. We don't work for them. And they don't get to control us and make decisions for us. That's how I feel about this whole sham.
Yeah. It's like there's a line drawn. And I was mentioning Jay. And you know, we had this conversation where he literally said he'd be more comfortable in the role of someone in a pod in the Matrix. You know, let somebody else just make you feel good and that's it. And I said, Jay, you know, enjoyment in life actually only comes after you've overcome some adversity. There's something to be said for the hard work and then the weekend. There's something to be said for the sacrifice and then the triumph. And I think it's really divided Americans into two camps. Those of us that think critically, that believe it's my choice to take a risk. And I take a risk every time I drive outside. I mean, even going to the doctor, you're taking a risk on Jersey roads for sure.
Right.
So, right. And I think that that line is there. And I wonder, do you have the confidence that the country has the resilience and enough of us who are normal and critical thinkers to actually get past this? Or are we at a point now where we're so divided that, and I don't want to, I don't know where this goes, but, you know, do we never get some of this back?
So, I mean, it's my greatest hope that people, like, when I go to bed at night, I don't sit there and think, oh, I want everybody to see that I'm right or this. What my prayers are always is that, like, I just want everybody to see the truth, myself included. Like, you know, we get lied to a lot by the media, and it's all by, you can, all you've got to do is follow the money trail and you can see who's controlling a narrative every time. So do a little bit of research, and I'm hopeful that mankind will wake up. I mean, I have to be. Look, at the before COVID, I was in the 3% who spoke, you know, who knew the dirty secret of the other side of vaccines. And now there's like 50% of the country that isn't going to play this game. They're like, oh, I'm not taking a warp speed shot for something that might mean.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. And I, you know, I support President Trump, and I have for a long time. I had him on the show. He was great. He said very similar to what you said to me on the morning show when he said, look, you want to wear a mask, you wear a mask. You don't want to wear it. This is still America. Sadly, I think we needed more than that from him, because you know, he didn't point out the dangers. I actually think that's what cost him the election as much as the fraud and everything, all the shenanigans. This should have been an overwhelming blowout. It shouldn't have been close enough to steal it in some of these other states. But that said, you know, warp speed, you said it. The problem I think Republicans have is that they bought into the health crisis. Whereas I never bought into the health crisis. We have a flu every year. If you look at Time Magazine back to 2018, you talked about the flu season, 2017, 2018, there were tents set up outside of hospitals because they were overwhelmed. Happened in Italy, happened in America. So that's we've right. been through this before without masks, without a shutdown, and we then got out of it. I'll never forget Dr. Daniel Murphy, who was the head of emergency medicine at St. Barnabas in the Bronx, one of the hardest hit spots in the world. On April 29th, now we're literally coming right at the height of this, he wrote for a letter to the New York Post. New York Post published this, saying it's time to open. This pandemic had a natural decline back on April 7th when the discharges, deaths, and transfers outnumbered the admissions. He said, look, our goal was to not overwhelm the medical system. We didn't do that. But the game kept changing. The goalpost kept moving. So I would encourage you not only to run for office, but, you know, you're going to get that following is going to continue to grow. There aren't many courageous people like you in the entertainment world, for sure. Mm.
I just I feel very strong. Like, I love my job. I mean, it's been a dream to do what I do. It's a passion of mine, but it's not who I am. And if there are consequences of me not working in that industry to speak truthfully about what's going on and the crimes against humanity going on with this whole thing, then I'm going to do it. I just feel very strongly that I'm not going to be on the wrong side of that. And I'll tell you another thing about my personality is that I cannot be bought. There is just not enough money to buy me. I just don't care that much about it. Wow. I grew up in for the family, and my mother was from a family that did not have any money. And I had more fun with that family and my cousins. And I realized money doesn't buy you happiness as much as it can afford you a lot of comfort. It doesn't buy you happiness. And so I can't be bought and I can't be shut up or muzzled or intimidated. I mean, if you get up and tell me I can't say something, I'm going to say it.
You're probably more likely to say it, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say it. What concerns me the most about this is that as their narrative changes, and people, instead of thinking, huh, that's suspicious, you know, like they see Nancy Pelosi go to a hairdresser. She's there amongst a lot of other people. She doesn't wear a mask. It bothers me that people, and the big fight becomes, she said you have to wear a mask and she's not wearing it. She's a hypocrite. You know, and then, oh, no, she's not. They set her up. I want to know why someone's not going, why does Nancy Pelosi feel safe enough to not wear a mask?
Right.
You know, Gavin Newsom goes to dinner and spends $15,000 of our taxpaying money.
Right.
On a bill with pharmaceutical industry reps. And no one has a mask on. Instead of this, like, oh, he at least admitted he was wrong, or everybody makes mistakes. Why don't we all go, hey, what does he know that we don't know that he feels safe enough? Like, if this were a true emergency pandemic, these people wouldn't be leaving their homes, let alone flying all over the place, going to restaurants, living life as normal, and not wearing the mask that you're told by them works and clearly doesn't.
Right. It's same with the Black Lives Matter protests, the Biden celebration rallies. All the politicians locking us down. Who was it? The mayor of Austin gave the lockdown order from his hotel in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. I mean, come on. Can't make it up, right? You really can't. Just on a personal note, what drove you into acting? How'd you get there?
I didn't think I was really good at anything else. My mom always says I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. Yeah. And I don't know why. I just always kind of knew that's what I was supposed to do or meant to do. I always had a drive for it. And I don't know why, because sometimes I get very nervous and shy. But yet when I'm, you know, doing a role or something, that kind of goes out the window for me. And I just have fun. And it's a very creative outlet. And I do get so much joy from making people laugh and finding the humor in life. But there comes a point to where I'm just not going to be a sellout. I'm not going to shut my mouth and not speak my truth so that people will follow me. If you don't want to follow me, you're free not to. And this is how I honestly feel about the vaccine too. I want people to hear me when I say this. I believe in our freedoms in this country. And although taking this vaccine is a hard no for me and my family, I will fight for your right to take it if that's what you choose to do, because you should have the choice, because this is a free country and you should be allowed to make that choice.
Couldn't have said that better myself. Love it. Hey, what projects do you have coming up where people can see you?
So I did two films during the pandemic and went across 5 different states and worked with numerous people and had a wonderful time doing it. There is so much life to be lived. You know, people that are sitting in their homes and have been sitting there in California all this time, my heart breaks for them. I really do feel that they have Stockholm syndrome because they are so brainwashed and afraid by all the fake news that they're seeing. I hate to use that term because it's so overused, but it is, it's telling one side of a narrative and not the reality of life. If you step outside, you would see that the world is actually functioning, you know, but they are, you know, Stockholm syndrome is basically, it's a psychological syndrome to where you do to yourself what you would never even allow an enemy to force upon you. And they've used this fear really to do it. So people sit at home, and I just think over the last 7 months, the life that I have lived has been so precious and so fun. I did a movie called Family Camp is supposed to be out in March.
Family Camp?
Family Camp.
Oh, camp, yeah.
And then I just did another film called Christmas in the Pines that will be out next Christmas. And there's life to be lived. And I feel that it's my right to live my life the way I want to live it. And I think that two of the biggest crimes are the biggest, I don't know, fraudulent things that everybody has said is one, that you're contagious to people when you have absolutely no symptoms of being sick.
That's been so debunked, and it's maddening to me that that is still discussed. And you saw how they shut down that woman who was heading up the coronavirus task force at the World Health Organization. She said it and referenced a couple of credible studies. Never heard from her again.
No. Yeah, you can't say that science is settled, and you can't say that, you know, because science, baby, when you're not allowing both sides of the science to be discussed. That's just called a narrative. That's called a false religion, or whatever you want to say it is that you're bowing down to. It's not science. It is not science when you give people a test that they even admit really only tests for the common cold, and they're, once you test positive for it, they're saying you have COVID. Doesn't mean you have COVID.
Well, and it just, it's amazing to me that they tried to make it so complicated, but I think you don't even have to be a scientist to understand the more cycles they use to test your sample, the less of the disease you actually have. In many cases, it could be a dead virus, which is not a threat to anyone. And the FDA, for some incredible reason, is talking about a 40-cycle test, which even the guy who created the test, who's passed away in the last year, said as much. You can't use this test this way. It's not accurate. Incredible. Correct. Incredible. Well, Lee Allen, you are a breath of fresh air. I am so happy to meet you and talk to you and promote what you're doing, because I think when it comes down to it, those of us who are normal and critical thinkers and able to have a conversation need to stick together. I do truly believe there are brighter days ahead and there are more of us. But the establishment, whether it's social media or the government or whoever has an interest, the big pharma companies, big medicine, they've got an interest in keeping this as a one-sided argument. So
if people would just ask themselves, like, what does a pharmaceutical company have to benefit from a vaccine? And what do I have to benefit by saying, yeah, we were injured, it wasn't safe for us? I get nothing out of that. Let me just tell you, I get nothing but a big pain in the ass and a big headache out of sharing my story. Right. I get death threats out of it. Yeah. You know, I get a loss of jobs, loss of finances out of it. But they get a huge gain from it. Not only that, they make a huge living off of keeping people sick. So if you think that the billions of dollars that they make in vaccines is a lot, it doesn't even compare to what they make from making you sick with them.
You know, it's incredible, too. And this, they keep calling it the vaccine, right? But it's, nobody calls the flu shot a vaccine. They call it a flu shot because it's on the last year strain. It's about 30% effective, and you got to have it every year. I suspect they just weren't making enough money on the flu shot because only 40% of American adults take it. And they're like, well, what if we scared the crap out of everybody on this one? They'll all line up. But it seems to me that it's very mixed. It's about half and half. Even in New Jersey, 74% of people who were positive with coronavirus, sick or not, refused to cooperate with contact tracers, because that's the next level of civil liberties infringement that can cost people their jobs, their family, their livelihood. Very disgusting. I have told people, there's no way that I would comply with that. But for me, I'm also not testing because Elon Musk tested four times, two positive, two negative, same day. Nuts.
Like, none of this makes sense. And it all goes back to when you think about the Holocaust, how did they convince smart, right-thinking people that an entire society and religion of people were diseased and could harm them and kill them and needed to be taken away? This is how they did it.
Amazing you say that. People attack me for making that leap. And I say, you know, when you're comparing it, you're comparing the tactics of big government and how they convince. Right, the herd mentality. That's
the big government control and the propaganda and the lies being told of what I do hurts you. So if you think masks and vaccines work, you know, then you can go ahead and do that. But the pharmaceutical industry is smarter than that. They know that you've really got to pit two people against each other, right? So what you've got to do is say that me not doing it is going to hurt you. That's what they have to do. So me not wearing a mask is really going to hurt you. And so then, therefore, that person hates me and fears me and thinks I'm the devil. Okay, but if vaccines work too, then by definition, I shouldn't have to take it and you can take it. Oh, no, no, no. Now everybody has to take it for it to help that person. And I'm really sick of the narrative too. If even one person dies of COVID, it's one too many. I get that. It's no, I am a compassionate, loving person. I don't want anybody to die from this virus or of anything else. You know, but if one person dies from vaccine, you know, it's for the greater good.
Yeah. Isn't that scary?
Horrifying. Right?
In every government mandate, if they could save one life, save one child, that's how they justify gun control, mandated vaccines, all of it. But you're right. On the other side,
right,
that one life was, well, that was the sacrifice because it's the greater good. You are 100% spot on with that. Well, Leon, let's definitely do this again. I'd love to have you back on. I'm out of time now, but I'd love to have you back on. And I meant that as a very serious question to you as far as a political future. I think there are people that, you know, the founders talked about that citizen soldier. We talked about the citizen legislator, the idea that people that never thought about politics before should say, you know what, maybe I just got to put the career on hold for 10 minutes and go and see if I can do some good. And I think if more people like you step up in those roles, we will have a better country and a better future. And hopefully people are going to come out of this COVID-induced fog and we'll get back on the right track. But thank you. Thanks for your courage. Thanks for continuing the fight. And I will certainly see you on social media probably as soon as tonight. And and the fight continues. And we'll have you back on for sure.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Lee Allen. You take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.